Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, December 17th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
a powerful storm dumps more than a foot of snow on the Northeast.
The U.S. posts another record day for coronavirus cases and deaths.
Congressional leaders stand on the brink of a deal on a new stimulus package.
New York City schools are remote learning today, and the MTA avoids massive service cuts for now. I'm John Tucker. Those stories straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Giants quarterback Daniel Jones now dealing with a second injury. The Knicks won a preseason game with Cleveland.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. futures gaining this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up about 20 points this morning. Dow futures up 127. NASDAQ futures up 60. The DAX in Germany is up 0.75%. CAC in Paris up 0.25%. And the FTSE 100 lower, down about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 0.92%. Yield on the 2-year 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4% or 20 cents at $48.02 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 1.1%. Nathan.
Well, Karen, a powerful storm continues to wallop the Northeast with snow. D.C. appears to have missed the worst of it. But New York and New England, you're waking up to messy conditions on the roads. And when all said and done, several states are going to find themselves under more than a foot. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolin is tracking the storm and joins us now with the very latest.
Nathan and Karen, the area of low pressure that we've been watching since yesterday playing out as expected. It's going to pass south of New York City and Long Island this morning and then move south of Nantucket, Massachusetts this afternoon. We still have some snow working its way from eastern Pennsylvania across the tri-state area and on up into New England. That will be diminishing, though, as we head through the next 12 hours. The storm system will continue heading out into the Atlantic later this afternoon. Things really start to improve across the area later tonight. We get a chance to dry things out and bring a large area of high pressure down from the Great Lakes states for the day tomorrow.
Okay, Rob, so how much longer do you think we're going to be dealing with this?
Based on the current track of the storm, it looks like snow will taper off in the New York City area by about 10 o'clock. Another 1 to 3 inches may fall. The Boston area ends this afternoon. There we could see another 3 to 5 inches of accumulation before it ends. I'm Rob Carolin, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Rob, thank you. And we'll be keeping up on checking with you throughout the latest. And we'll keep checking with you throughout the morning for the latest on the storm. Meantime, we're coming off the deadliest day yet in the pandemic. More than 3,800 Americans died from COVID-19 yesterday. The U.S. is reporting another 250,000 infections, including a fresh record in California. Here with more is Ed Baxter from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Over 53,000 new cases, more than 18,000 cases over any previous day, hospitalizations jumping 4.3%. Los Angeles County Health Director Barbara Ferrer uses the word overwhelm.
The virus is still very much with us and continues to devastate lives throughout the county and completely overwhelm our hospital care system.
And she says on average, 2 people an hour are dying of COVID-19 in L.A. County. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Some snags are being reported in the effort to send vaccines across the country. In California and Alabama, some doses are being held up because they're too cold. The first known allergic reaction to Pfizer's shot in the U.S. was reported in Alaska. Still, White House Coronavirus Task Force Coordinator Dr. Deborah Birx is optimistic.
This is one of the most highly effective vaccines we have in our infectious disease arsenal. And so that's why I'm very enthusiastic about the vaccine.
Well, there are still concerns some may refuse the shot. So to build public confidence, President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President Mike Pence will publicly receive the vaccine in the coming days.
And as the virus continues to surge, congressional leaders are working out the final details of a nearly $900 billion stimulus plan. Amy Morris has the very latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Sources tell Bloomberg News the plan includes another round of stimulus checks, $600, plus an extra $300 a week in unemployment payments. It also includes roughly $17 billion for airlines. It does not include aid for state and local governments, nor does it include lawsuit liability protection for businesses, two sticking points that may be taken up later. Once it's written, watch for House leaders to move quickly toward a vote as early as today. Any later than that would be a tight timeline for the Senate, which could push final passage into this weekend. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thanks. Elsewhere in Washington, Jay Powell sees a light at the end of the tunnel. The Fed chairman expects the economy to perform strongly in the second half of next year as more Americans get vaccinated, but the next few months, he says, will be challenging.
The current economic downturn is the most severe of our lifetimes. It will take a while to get back to the levels of economic activity and employment that prevailed at the beginning of this year.
Powell says the Fed will continue providing support to the economy well into the future.
We get another reading on the labor market today. Economists say jobless claims probably edged lower last week, but remain at alarming levels. And Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice reports.
The latest COVID-19 cascade is aggravating the labor market situation. Claims are elevated and in the prior report reached a three-month high, 853,000. Bloomberg Economics sees the four-week moving average rising, implying for now a drop in December non-farm payrolls, perhaps a loss of 150,000, the first since April's record plunge of almost 21 million. Vinnie Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinnie. Turning to markets now, Bitcoin's rally continues. The cryptocurrency has now topped $23,000 and is up more than 20% this week alone. Analysts, including Scott Minard at Guggenheim Investments, say the digital currency still has room to run.
Amazing, you know, over a very short period of time, how big of a run-up we've had. But having said that, our fundamental work shows that Bitcoin should be worth about $400,000.
Well, checking Bitcoin right now, it's up 6.6% on the session to $22,613.
And we have a deal to tell you about this morning. Novartis has agreed to buy Cambridge, Massachusetts-based Cadent Therapeutics for as much as $770 million. Cadent develops treatments for cognitive and mood disorders. It's currently working on a drug for schizophrenia and already has an alliance with Novartis on a product for treatment-resistant depression. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 6:07 on Wall Street. The New York news, of course, dominated by the weather this morning. Let's get the latest on the storm from Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Yeah, Nathan, among other things, New York City schools are closed for in-person learning today because of the storm, but it's no snow day. Mayor Bill de Blasio tweeting out that there will be full remote learning today for our students. Meantime, Governor Cuomo urging New Yorkers to exercise caution and stay off the roads. And the city plows around, but a lot of sidewalks are treacherous with numerous businesses shuttered because of the pandemic. There's nobody around to shovel the snow. New York City using a tried and true method to slash its mounting bills, refinance. With more, here's Bloomberg's Tom Busby.
The city, whose budget has taken a sharp blow from the coronavirus pandemic, sold $1.5 billion worth of general obligation bonds to refinance higher cost debt. It's a move that will allow New York to save $205 million in the current and next fiscal year. Demand from investors outstrips supply. So far this fiscal year, New York City's tax collections have fallen by 3.5%. Coronavirus-related travel restrictions have crushed tourism, one of the city's biggest industries, and wiped out more than 200,000 jobs in the leisure and hospitality industry. Tom Busby, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And the MTA has approved a $17 billion budget for next year. It hinges on a potential $4.5 billion of federal funds to avoid deep service cuts and layoffs. The MTA held off on voting for now on fare and toll hikes, employee reductions of more than 9,300, and a 40% cut in subway and bus service, and slashing commuter rail service in half. The agency may need to reconsider those changes as early as January. Interior Secretary David Bernhardt tested positive for COVID-19 on Wednesday before a planned meeting with President Trump. The 51-year-old Bernhardt did not attend the cabinet session after his positive result, which was received during routine screening at the White House. Others close to the president who tested positive include former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, who is now featured in a national ad campaign urging Americans to wear a mask to prevent the spread of COVID-19.
You know, lying in isolation in ICU for 7 days, I thought about how wrong I was to remove my mask at the White House. Today, I think about how wrong it is to let mask wearing divide us.
Christie believes he contracted the virus at the White House. Global News 24 hours a day on air and a Bloomberg Quick Take powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. It's 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
All right, Nathan. Daniel Jones injured his right hamstring 3 weeks ago, missed the upset win in Seattle, and then returned for the home loss to Arizona. And now it's been learned that in that game last Sunday, he suffered a sprained left ankle. Not known yet if this Sunday night against Cleveland will be Jones quarterback in the Giants or Colt McCoy. Adam Gase, coach of the 0-13 Jets, yesterday admitted seemingly the obvious that he has let ownership down. Gase expected to be fired at season's end. Week 15 begins tonight in Las Vegas, Raiders and Chargers. The Knicks back at the Garden last night, first time since last March. They outscored Cleveland 34-13 in the fourth quarter. They beat the Cavs 100-93. Same two in the preseason finale tomorrow. This would normally be the week of the baseball winter meetings. Instead, Zoom calls. And yesterday it was Mets manager Luis Rojas, who says he'll be better in his second season on the job.
There's always so much room for growth in this game, especially for a first-year manager like myself and how things went last year. So many things to learn from and all the changes. And, you know, and especially in-game, you know, the more you're involved in games, I think the more experience you create.
Report yesterday from MLB Network that the Colorado Rockies, looking to reduce payroll, are trying to interest the Mets in a trade for Rockies star third baseman Nolan Arenado. The Negro Leagues began in 1920, lasted until 1948, the year after Jackie Robinson's debut. It had great players whose records and statistics will now count as if they were in the majors as MLB reclassified the Negro Leagues. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
And John, could the Empire State be joining the Garden State in legal sports gambling? At a news conference yesterday, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said legalization could help close the state's $15 billion budget gap. A Morgan Stanley gaming analyst says legislative experts believe Cuomo is seriously considering changing his stance and supporting legal sports betting. Cuomo doesn't submit his budget proposal until early next month. Futures moving higher. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer or call 1-800-FIND-4WD for special offers at the Land Rover Season of Adventure sales event now through January 4th. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are moving higher this morning. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg, with S&P futures up 21 points, Dow futures up 142, NASDAQ futures up 63. The DAX in Germany is up 0.8%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 0.92%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4% or 21 cents at $48.03 a barrel. COMEX gold up 1.2% or $21.40 at $18.80.60 an ounce. The euro 1.2231 against the dollar. British pound 1.3616. And the yen is at 103.05. We're also watching Bitcoin. It breached $23,000 for the first time today. It's now up about 7% at $22,673. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Karen. A powerful storm continues to wallop the Northeast. When it's all said and done, several states will find themselves under more than a foot of snow. Interior Secretary David Bernhardt tested positive for COVID-19 on Wednesday before a planned meeting with President Trump. This morning comes word the French President Macron has tested positive. Nearly 5 million Americans say they can't work because they're sick with coronavirus, a figure which has more than doubled in less than 2 months. Sports, week 15 of the NFL season kicks off tonight with the Raiders hosting the Chargers. Global News 24 hours a day on air, Hannah Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. It is 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get the latest now on the pandemic and the vaccine rollout. Gigi Granvall is back with us this morning, professor at the Johns Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Good to have you on this morning with us, Professor. Of course, we're dealing with this major snowstorm in the Northeast. Do you have any concern that that could affect the vaccine rollout as this Pfizer shot continues to be deployed?
I'm not so concerned. I'm a little jealous of the snow because ours turned to rain here in Baltimore. But,
right.
This is going to institutions that are prepared to receive it. So I'm not so concerned.
What about some of the hiccups we're starting to see in the distribution process? The doses, some of which went to California and Alabama, being delayed because they were too cold. The first allergic reaction reported in Alaska. Were these the kinds of things that were to be expected?
I mean, it's definitely something that should not be so surprising. This is the most complicated logistics operation that public health has ever faced, ever. And to be able to deliver these vaccines, which require these specific cold temperatures, because these vaccines are RNA is very delicate, and that's part of what makes it such a good vaccine. But that's why these need to be so cold.
Do you think there's going to be enough vaccine to keep the U.S. on track for the mass inoculation that it's looking for to meet those targets that Health Secretary Azar has put out there to have the majority of Americans who want a shot able to get one by the summer?
I understand that there's talks to get more vaccine purchased. But one thing that's really important, so much effort and money has been put into the development of the vaccine. The next step is to put a similar sort of effort into making sure that the vaccine gets to people, that the public health agencies that are receiving it can have enough support to be able to give the vaccine, and that people have the right information, they have accurate information about the vaccine. Because if you don't do those things, then all of the work to get the vaccine developed is not going to be worth it.
Do you think that those resources have been put in place effectively?
It seems that not enough money that Congress needs to allocate some more money to appropriate some more money to put for the delivery of the vaccine, and that needs to happen. But I think they're scheduled to run out of the resources that they need in a few months. So. We need to pay more attention to making sure that people get the shot, and not just the opportunity.
Right. Now, of course, we're awaiting a FDA advisory panel meeting to discuss a recommendation for Moderna's shot. Should we expect that recommendation will be coming?
I think so. This is an independent committee, so we shall see. But the safety and the efficacy data that FDA has put forward about the Moderna product is very similar to the Pfizer product, as in it's really good. It's got really great efficacy. So I think that we should see probably an EUA, an emergency use authorization for this vaccine in the next several days.
Does it face similar challenges as far as distribution that the Pfizer shot does in terms of needing to be kept at those ultra-cold temperatures and the delicacy of the inoculation?
It is. It does require cold temperatures, not quite as cold. It's more in line with just with regular freezers. So it has that advantage, but still, it's RNA is delicate. That's what's made it such a challenge to get it to this point.
In our last minute here, it seems like we're seeing sort of mixed signals in terms of where we are in the pandemic. New records being set in terms of cases and hospitalizations in places like California, while other states, it seems like the case count is flattening, if not falling. Where would you say we are in the pandemic right now?
I think we are just starting to see the effects of Thanksgiving and the surge there, and I'm concerned that that we will see a similar surge after the Christmas holidays. And so, I have a lot of my predictions of where we are have unfortunately been wrong as the case counts go up and up. So, I hope that it doesn't get worse, but I fear that it will.
All right. Well, we'll have to leave it there for now, but appreciate getting your insights as always. Gigi Granvall, professor at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health with us this morning. And the Bloomberg School is supported by Michael Bloomberg, who is the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP. That is the parent company of Bloomberg Radio. Looking at futures contracts this morning, looking like a higher open on Wall Street. S&P futures are up 21 points right now. Dow futures up 145. NASDAQ futures higher by 63 points. Bitcoin, 22,687. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer. Call 1-800-FIND-4WD for special offers at the Land Rover Season of Adventure sales event now through January 4th. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Continues.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130
to Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 99.1
to Boston.
Bloomberg 1061
to San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960
to the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119
and around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. A powerful snowstorm has slammed parts of the Northeast with over a foot of snow in some areas. We'll have details in just a moment. But first, we're coming off the deadliest day yet in the pandemic. More than 3,800 Americans died from COVID-19 yesterday. The U.S. is reporting another 250,000 infections, including a fresh record in California. Barbara Farrar is health director of L.A. County.
The virus is still very much with us and continues to devastate lives throughout the county and completely overwhelm our hospital care system.
Some snags are being reported in the effort to distribute vaccines. In California and Alabama, some doses were held up for being too cold. And the first known allergic reaction to Pfizer's shot was reported in Alaska.
Well, as the pandemic rages on, there's still no COVID relief agreement in Washington. But Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says they're getting closer.
We made major headway toward hammering out a targeted pandemic relief package that would be able to pass both chambers with bipartisan majorities.
The plan includes $600 payments for individuals and $300 a week in supplemental unemployment payments. What's not included is state aid or lawsuit liability protection.
Elsewhere in Washington, Jay Powell sees a light at the end of the tunnel. The Fed chairman expects a strong economic rebound in the second half of next year as more Americans get vaccinated.
However, significant challenges and uncertainties remain with regard to the timing, production, and distribution of vaccines, as well as their efficacy across different groups. It remains difficult to assess the timing and scope of the economic implications of these developments.
And Powell said the Fed will continue providing support to the economy well into the future.
Well, coming up today, we get weekly jobless claims. An economist forecast a reading of 815,000. In Europe, the Bank of England makes a policy decision this morning.
There's a deal in the pharmaceutical industry. Novartis has agreed to buy Cambridge, Massachusetts-based Cadent Therapeutics for as much as $770 million. Cadent develops treatments for cognitive and mood disorders.
And the Bitcoin rally continues this morning. The cryptocurrency has now topped $23,000 and is up more than 20% this week alone.
And futures this morning also higher. S&P futures up 21 points. Dow futures up 146. NASDAQ futures up 63. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 0.92%. And the yield on the 2 years at 0.11%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4%. It's at $48.02 a barrel, up 20 cents. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Okay, Karen, thank you. 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer. Call 1-800-FIND-4WD for special offers at the Land Rover Season of Adventure sales event now through January 4th. Land Rover, above and beyond. Good morning, John Tucker.
And good morning to you, Nathan. Still coming down here in Midtown Manhattan. While we try to measure the final accumulations of the snow, sunshine could peek out later today. Let's get the latest on the track of this snowstorm from Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Caron. Good morning, Rob.
John, low pressure will be passing south of Long Island this morning, and that should bring the snow to an end overnight. We did see some sleet mix in the city, also had a little bit of rain along the coast of Long Island. Looks like precipitation, though, will wind down this morning, an additional inch to maybe 3 inches in a few spots. But again, the worst of the storm is behind us. We'll see improving conditions this afternoon. In fact, as the storm heads south of New England during the afternoon, partial sunshine will try to develop in the tri-state area, and we'll see if we can't get temperatures up above freezing for a little while. That would help with the roads. I'm Rob Carolyn, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks a lot, Rob. And New York City schools closed for today for in-person learning, but students still required to log in for remote learning today. With many businesses shuttered for the pandemic, getting around on sidewalks is proving to be tough. It's up to the individual business owners to clear snow and ice in front of their shops, but they're now missing. President-elect Joe Biden's cabinet picks beginning to work through the confirmation process in the Republican-controlled Senate. Let's get more from the Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington and Bloomberg's Amy Morris.
Despite the still simmering rancor of the election and President Trump's refusal so far to recognize the outcome, some Senate committees are moving ahead on vetting nominees, potentially leading to some being confirmed on Inauguration Day or shortly afterward. The Senate Finance Committee sent questionnaires on Tuesday to Janet Yellen, the former Federal Reserve Chair whom Biden has chosen to be Treasury Secretary. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee has sent its list of questions to Secretary of State nominee Antony Blinken, with the potential for a hearing before the inauguration. Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And President-elect Joe Biden tapping Brenda Mallory to lead the Council on Environmental Quality. That's a role that could have her coordinating government-wide efforts to combat climate change and promote sustainable development. If confirmed, Mallory would be the first African-American to hold the position since its creation more than half a century ago. And American workers are increasingly leaving their jobs or are too sick to work as coronavirus cases spike in the U.S. The Census Bureau says nearly 5 million Americans said they can't work because they're sick with coronavirus. That's a figure which more than doubled in less than 2 months. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, John, thank you. It's 6:36 on Wall Street. John Stashire has a Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. We last saw Giants quarterback Daniel Jones limping off the field towards the end of last Sunday's loss to Arizona. It was assumed he was still bothered by the injury to his right hamstring that forced Jones to miss the previous game, but the Giants say he also has a sprained left ankle. Giants host Cleveland Sunday night. Not known if Jones will play or if it'll be Colt McCoy, a one-time Cleveland Brown. It'll be the Raiders and Chargers tonight in Las Vegas to begin Week 15. The Raiders are 7-6. They're a game out for the playoffs. Preseason NBA at the Garden, where the Knicks had not played in 9 months. Big fourth quarter. They beat the Cavs 100-93. Julius Randle scored 18 points. R.J. Barrett and Kevin Knox both had 16. It was nearly 4 years ago that ex-Knick great Charles Oakley got escorted out of the Garden after that dispute with Knicks owner James Dolan. Oakley had misdemeanor assault charges dropped. His lawsuit was dismissed. He is appealing, and his lawyer now says there's video evidence that Dolan orchestrated the whole thing. Big Yankee question heading into 2021. What will they get from Gary Sanchez coming off of 2020 when he hit a major league worst 147? Yankee general manager Brian Cashman asked about his catcher yesterday.
But we believe that the sample size of the 2020 season, you know, would be hard pressed to judge really anybody both in a favorable spot or a negative spot. And the sample size was so small. So we're going to certainly bet on him returning to form.
2019, Sanchez hit 34 home runs and was an all-star. The Supreme Court says it will hear the case involving the NCAA and compensation that athletes can receive. The NCAA wants it capped. It is appealing a loss in the lower courts. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Vaccinate them. I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. This is a simple one. Forget the populist posturing. Important elected officials, including Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Joe Biden, and Kamala Harris, and key government staffers should get the coronavirus vaccine, and soon. The early word was that leaders across all three branches of government would be among the first to get their shots. But then Trump pushed back, saying that White House staffers should get vaccinated somewhat later in the program, unless specifically necessary. But again, the basic principle is easy. It's not that all important people should get vaccinated first. It's that a functional government is essential to the nation's well-being. The sooner the White House, Congress, and the Supreme Court can return to normal, the better. Like it or not, government is one of the main organizing structures of our society, playing an important role in securing the health and safety of everyone. Democracy matters too. If elected officials can't govern, then the representative relationship between government and citizens is severed. Get these folks their shots. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. 10 states led by Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton have filed a lawsuit against Google. They claim the company struck illegal deals to rig the advertising market. Ed Ludlow has more from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
The suit alleges that Google used its monopolistic power to, quote, control pricing and engage in market collusions to rig auctions. The states also accused Google of entering into an illegal agreement with Facebook, its biggest competitor in the advertising market. It's the second antitrust action taken against the search giant following the landmark case filed by the DOJ in October. A Google spokesperson called the suit meritless. While it was Republican states that were a party to the suit, the pressure on big tech is expected to continue under a Biden presidency. In San Francisco, Ed Ludlow, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thanks. On the earnings front today, FedEx is expected to deliver when it reports quarterly results. Here's Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
FedEx has had the wind at its back amid the pandemic. Shipping volumes are up for a variety of reasons, including a surge in online shopping. Bloomberg Intelligence sees improving margins at FedEx Ground thanks to its ability to raise rates and impose pandemic-related surcharges. Gains in stops per day and packages per stop are also expected to boost margins. Analysts are forecasting a profit of $3.96 a share on revenue of more than $19.4 billion. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's been a hot year for IPOs, but not for the latest offering. The parent of online retailer Wish, ContextLogic, fell 16% in yesterday's debut, the worst start among any IPO worth at least $1 billion. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer or call 1-800-FIND-4WD for special offers at the Land Rover Season of Adventure sales event now through January 4th. Land Rover above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are gaining this morning with congressional leaders in the U.S. still haggling over the final details of nearly $900 billion in coronavirus aid. We're watching Bitcoin. It breached $23,000 for the first time. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 20 points. Dow futures up 129. NASDAQ futures up 59. The DAX in Germany is up 0.75%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 0.92%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.33% or 16 cents at $47.98 a barrel. COMEX gold up 1.25% or $22.90 at $18.82 an ounce. The euro 1.2238 against the dollar, British pound 1.3616, and the yen 103.05. And again, Bitcoin jumping today, up 7% right now at $22,680. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And Karen, we're coming off the deadliest day yet in the pandemic. More than 3,800 Americans died from COVID-19 yesterday. The U.S. is reporting another 250,000 infections. French President Emmanuel Macron tested positive for COVID-19. He was tested after showing mild symptoms of the disease and will isolate for 7 days. And congressional leaders and their staffs continue working out details of a nearly $900 billion coronavirus relief plan. It's in anticipation of unveiling it as soon as today. And in sports, week 15 of the NFL season kicks off tonight with the Raiders hosting the Chargers. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. We're powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, John, thanks. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it's just about 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. besides the snowstorm. President-elect Biden's cabinet picks are beginning to move through the confirmation process. The White House is holding urgent daily talks on hacking linked to Russia. And Interior Secretary David Bernhardt is the latest member of President Trump's inner circle to test positive for the coronavirus. And also making news this morning, stimulus talks now coming down to the nitty-gritty. Let's get the very latest from Bloomberg Politics editor Kathleen Hunter. I think the last couple of days, Kate, we've been thinking today would be the day that congressional leaders would come out with a deal. Is today going to be the day?
Well, I'll say again, you know, it's looking likely like today is going to be the day.
Okay.
And they're running out of time, you know.
Yeah.
It better be today or tomorrow or else, you know, they're pretty much out of time. So I think that they are, by all indications, getting closer and closer. And this is really the way Congress does business. You know, everything is lost, and it looks like there's nothing that's going to happen until then. Immediately things come together and the wheels of government start moving very, very quickly. So I anticipate, you know, based on what we've seen over the last 24 hours, it does look like they're making progress. And it seems more and more likely that they will have some kind of a proposal to unveil today, if not tomorrow.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about some of the major sticking points that have kept a deal from going through. What are some of the main details that are holding things up at this point?
Well, this new wrinkle emerged yesterday that has to do with federal matching funds for FEMA. And essentially, Democrats want to up that to 100% rate. It's currently at 90% for COVID-related disasters. And basically, Republicans are opposed to this because one of the sort of key negotiating points has been around Democrats' demand for aid to state and local governments. Republicans have vehemently opposed that, and they're saying that Democrats are essentially trying to get a backdoor way into that aid by increasing the FEMA matching rate. And so that has emerged as a pretty big sticking point, and it's a bit unclear if Democrats continue to persist in insisting on that, whether that's, you know, whether they're going to find a way around that, you know, this new dispute.
Yeah, we'll have to see whether that does hold things up any longer, because as you mentioned earlier, time is very quickly running out to get the text out, attached to a bill, and passed before the week is out. Can they get it done in time?
Well, you know, it would definitely be easier to do if they get a bill out today. I think the sense from Steny Hoyer, who's the number two Democrat in the House, is that the House could vote on it as soon as today if the bill is unveiled today. You know, if they leave it until tomorrow to roll out a bill, that creates a really, really tight timeline to have both the House and Senate vote on it before funding expires for the government at midnight. And so what that might require then, if it does slip into tomorrow, is for Congress to pass another sort of short stopgap funding bill to keep the funding going into the weekend. And then you'd be looking at, you know, potentially Saturday and Sunday sessions to get this over the finish line.
Congress does seem to like to pull these winter all-nighters. In the meantime, President-elect Biden's cabinet nominees are starting to move through the confirmation process. Are the wheels of government moving smoothly on that front?
Yeah, we obviously got the Electoral College vote earlier this week that really cemented Biden's win. And I think significantly what that did was we saw a number of Republicans, including Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, significantly, who had held off on, you know, acknowledging or recognizing Biden as the president-elect. They are now doing that. And I think that has essentially unstuck this confirmation process. There's a lot that can be done prior to January and prior to Inauguration Day in terms of vetting these nominees, getting the committee process, the wheels of the committee process for the folks that are going to be considering the nominations, kind of getting all of that up and going. There's a lot of paperwork that needs to be done and submitted to the Senate. And so it sounds like with a number of the nominees, that process is beginning now in earnest, and that would set up the potential to have confirmation votes on the Senate floor as soon as Inauguration Day. We saw that back in 2008 when Obama took office, for instance. Hillary Clinton and several other Obama nominees were approved on the day of the inauguration. We saw that also with Trump. And so I think that that is more back to what we are typically used to seeing, and that process is getting going now.
All right. Turning to the current White House, it seems as though this major hack we've been reporting this week on U.S. government agencies is becoming a major focus of concern right now.
Yeah, based on our reporting, the White House has actually been holding daily briefings on this hack, and it's that, you know, has involved obviously folks from the FBI and other investigatory agencies. And so I think that really speaks to the scale of the hack and the concern that it's raised within the U.S. government. And so that's something, of course, you know, that we would expect both the Trump administration and the incoming Biden administration to be paying very close attention to.
And there's been a lot of focus on a Russia link to this hack. At the same time, we're hearing that the president's spy chief, John Ratcliffe, could miss a deadline for a report on Russian election meddling because of questions about China's involvement.
That's right. There is a report that's due to Congress tomorrow, and it looks as though that the administration, the Trump administration, is going to miss that deadline, as you said. And the key sticking point here seems to be the extent to which the report elevates or doesn't elevate any efforts by China to sway the outcome of the U.S. election. You know, a lot of the attention, of course, has been on Russia, and so I think there are questions about China as well. And you know, how prominently those questions figure into this forthcoming report seems to be a bit of a sticking point at this stage.
Okay. And finally, our last story out of Washington, another member of the Trump cabinet tests positive for the coronavirus.
Yeah, the Trump's interior secretary has tested positive. That, you know, as you said, is just the latest. You know, we then obviously unrelated, but saw this morning that, you know, the president of France, Emmanuel Macron, has also tested positive. So, you know, it's something that governments around the world are dealing with, certainly something the Trump administration has had to deal with. And every time, you know, we have one of these high ranking officials test positive, it sets off this, you know, very extensive track and trace program. People have to go into isolation. We also know currently, not that this is related either necessarily, but we know that Secretary of State Michael Pompeo is also in isolation after having come into contact with someone who subsequently tested positive for the virus. So, you know, what we're seeing play out across America in terms of surging case numbers, you know, we're seeing that, you know, reflected in the highest levels of government as well.
Thank you for this. Good talking to you. Bloomberg Politics editor Kathleen Hunter with us this morning. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. It is 6:55 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It's brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked one of the top three universities in New Jersey and 74th in the nation by QS World University Rankings. Learn more at njit.edu. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Twitter says it'll begin removing misinformation about COVID-19 vaccinations from its site. If people send tweets in violation of the rules, they will be required to delete them before they're able to tweet again. Before the offending tweet is removed, Twitter will hide it from view. A Chinese lunar capsule returned to Earth today with the first fresh rock samples from the moon in more than 40 years. The finding offers a possibility of new insights into the history of the solar system and marks a new landmark for China's rapidly advancing space program. And finally, imagine avoiding L.A. traffic by hailing a sky taxi or Airbus, like out of a scene in the Jetsons. Well, L.A. has announced a year-long first-in-the-nation partnership with Urban Movement Labs, city agencies, and Hyundai Motor Group to envision how to blend all-electric, low-noise flying aircraft into its existing public transit system. The Urban Air Mobility Plan involves building a demonstration vertiport and assessing potential regulatory hurdles and what type of service commuters want or need. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Futures this morning, they're on the rise. S&P futures, they're up 19 points. Dow futures up 128. And NASDAQ futures up 56. The DAX in Germany is up 0.7%. The 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 0.92%. And the yield on the 2-year, 0.11%. And, of course, we're watching Bitcoin today and its rise, up 7.4% right now at $22,781. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.